Yeah, we'll discuss a... discuss a din tonight, which is very, very common, very practical, perhaps one of the most practical situations that arises in all of Schiras, perhaps all of Choshen Mishpat. I dare say anyone here who has, at any point in his life, either been a tenant or a landlord, has probably had a version of the Shaila at some point. That is the question of, in a rented residence, something breaks during the term of the lease, who is obligated to repair it? Surprisingly, for such a, you think this is such a common, basic, fundamental question, you think the halacha would actually be clear on this. The halacha is remarkably unclear on this question. So, in Siman Shin Yud Beis, Sif Yud Zayin, we have one of two statements in the Shulchan Aruch about this question. Shulchan Aruch brings a Tshuvas Harash. The starting point for this whole discussion is the Gemara we mentioned briefly on Monday. The Gemara says that Socher Bayezeh, when you have a lease, as most of our residential lease, at most of our leases normally are, that the rental was for a specific item, specific property, like a car. You typically specify which car you're taking, a house, put the address into the lease, and then the house was nafal, the Gemara says. The house collapsed during the lease. So the Gemara says, Azdala, that there's no further, the lease basically is over, the lease terminates, and on Monday we discussed whether the tenant has to continue paying rent or not. That's one question, but fundamentally, that's not clear in the Gemara, but fundamentally the Gemara says, Azdala, the landlord has no obligation to rebuild the house. That the Shulchan Aruch brings here, that everyone agrees, that's no dispute about that.
It was an act of God, you mean?
Act of God or anything, as long as he didn't do it himself. As long as he wasn't the one who knocked it down. It fell in the war, fell because it just got old and it collapsed, earthquake, right? Yeah, certainly acts of God would be included.
Could be negligence.
Maybe even negligence would probably be included. Probably that would be true too. But as long as he didn't deliberately do it, halacha is that if nafal, ein achayel of noso. And then the Shulchan Aruch adds, though, yesh mishomer. And that Achronim discuss why this is a Yesh Misha Omer, whether this is if someone who disagrees or not clear. But this is a Tshuvas Harash, Yesh Misha Omer, the Dafk B'Shenaflal Kulo. This is only true when the house has collapsed entirely. Avalim Hukaya Meloshim Asukun Ladrbo, the house is still intact, but it's hazardous, it's condemned, it has to be shored up, dangerous to live there. Chayav HaMaskil Atakno, then the landlord has to repair it. That is one of the two statements in the Shulchan Aruch about repairs on a house, that if the house is totally collapsed, then the lease is over. If the house is intact, but it needs repairs to avert danger, then Yesh Misha Omer, the landlord, has to do it. The other statement in Shulchan Aruch appears two simanim later, in Siman Shin Yud Dalet. The Mishnah, the Sugya over there, is discussing certain things that the landlord has to do and certain things that the tenant has to do. Different types of repairs or make things in the house, but most of that discussion is about in what condition the house has to be when it's initially delivered. If the landlord says, you can rent my house on 123 Main Street beginning in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so what condition does it have to be? So the landlord is responsible for making sure that certain aspects of the house are in good working order. The tenant has to do certain things, the landlord has to do certain things. The discussion there is not primarily about things that break after the lease has commenced. However, the Ramah says, Ramah brings a din, this is a din that the Mukiyazit brings from the Ritva, B'Shem, the Rebbe of the Ritva. The Ramah says that if these things broke during the term of the lease, Nishbru Telchim Aschirus, Imamarle Bayezeh, if he said Bayezeh, Ein Sark Lamed Lalacher, he doesn't have to replace it, doesn't have to give him a new house, doesn't have to do anything basically. So here the Ramah says, landlord has to provide the house in proper working condition, does not generally have to fix things during the term of the lease. This seems to be a direct stira to the first din in our siman.
Here he says, Masukan doesn't necessarily mean every repair. Masukan means if you can't live there.
Okay, good. Well, good. That is one of the main mahalchim of the poskim. We'll discuss that in a moment. But at first blush, the poskim asks, this seems to be a stira, that in our siman, the Shulchan Aruch says, if the house needs repairs, it has to be done, the Tshuvas Harash, and in the end of Shin Yud Beis, and in Shin Yud Dalet, the Ramah brings the din of the Ritva, B'Shem Rizrebi, that repairs to problems that occur during the lease do not have to be done by the landlord. This question is asked by a number of Achronim, including the Ktzas HaChoshen, Ktzas Tarachian, the Gon, Bir Hagra, the Bir Hagra, and as well as other Achronim, they just explain it's Machlokes. They say if you look at the Ramah, all the way at the end of this halacha in Shin Yud Dalet, he says Ayin Leel Siman Shin Yud Beis if you're Zayin. He specifically refers you back to our Siman, and the Gon says, what does Rama mean? He means that the Rosh is Cholik, that it's Machlokes, that the Rosh says you do have to make repairs. Now the Ktzas says that's very nice. It might be Machlokes Rishonim, but why is Rama just writing this without? He should have commented back in Shin Yud Beis. He should have written Yesh Cholkim, or should have said something. It's true, he hints to you that there might be another issue here, but some Achronim say no, the Rama wrote, look back there, you figure it out for yourself, it's Machlokes. And others say, no, if that's really what he meant, he should have made this point a little more clearly, that it's actually a Machlokes. Similarly, we mentioned earlier, the Machaber in our Siman says, Yesh Amrim. So Yesh Amrim is also not conclusive. As the post can point out, the Sma already tells us in some places, sometimes the Machaber writes Yesh Amrim simply because the specific halacha he's quoting is not a Gemara and he only found it in one particular Rishon, even though it's not controversial and he doesn't know anyone who disagrees. Sometimes Yesh Amrim means that he's bringing one opinion and there are others. So it's hard to know again from our Shulchan Aruch, is Machaber alluding to the fact that the Ritva is Chalek? Does he not mean that? So if we don't assume it's Machlokes, if we take the Rama at what seems to be saying it's not a Machlokes, so how do we reconcile the Tshuva of the Rosh in the case of Masuka and Ladurbo, where the house is collapsing and it's dangerous, with the din of the Ritva, and the Rama later, that you don't have to make various repairs of things that go wrong during the lease? So one approach is, one of Rabbi Sussman started to say, this involves taking the words of the Rosh, Masuka and Ladurbo, very seriously, understanding that that's not simply the case of Maisa Shoya Kachaya, that is a crucial aspect of the Ramah's, of the Shulchan Aruch's ruling, of the Rosh's ruling. And you say, ordinary things that are there and break and are broken, the doors are breaking, the ceiling is, paint is paling, the refrigerator, the toilet's not working. All right, it's not convenient, but you can live there. But as soon as it becomes Masuka and Ladurbo, it becomes impossible to live there. It's dangerous, it's not, you can't live there. That's the only case that the Rosh says you have to repair. This is said, this approach was suggested by a number of Gedolei Achronim. This is one of this is the approach of the Mechas Pitim, or Meir Arik, among others, earlier Achronim, later Achronim. This is one approach to that the only repairs that have to be made are the case of Masukan, where you can't live there, it's too dangerous. The Divrei Malkiel rejects this approach. He says it doesn't make sense, he says. On the contrary, he says. If anything, the Svar is the other way around. He says, the starting point of the whole discussion, as we mentioned earlier, is that if it's nafal, if the house totally collapses, azdala, you don't have to rebuild it. Says the Divrei Malkiel, to the extent that you can't live there, to the extent that it's mesukan, if anything, that makes it more like nafal, that makes it more like azda. So he doesn't think that's a Svar. Now, those who do say this chiluk, they apparently hold, if it's totally gone, that's nafal. But if it's here, but it's unusable, then that's mesukan, that's the worst case. If it's totally gone, it's azda. If it's here and it is usable, then you might not have to do it. If it's in between, it's here, but it's not so usable, that's the case where you mechuyev to repair. Anyway, that's one mahalach in the Achronim. Several Achronim say this, that if it's mesukan, you have to repair, which I guess would mean if it's like totally unusable, there's not an option to live here, then you have to repair, if not. Divrei Malkiel himself, as we mentioned, rejects this. He proposes, he's not really sure, he keeps saying he doesn't have time to write a full tshuva on this. In the second tshuva, he follows up and says, and the guy didn't like what he wrote in the first tshuva, he wrote, "You believe me, I have 12 tshuvas from Rabbanim I have to write, and I don't have time to get into detail here." But the chiluk he proposes, he talks about what the minhag was in his area of Europe. We should mention, of course, as some of the contemporary poskim say, as is often the case in Choshen Mishpat, particularly in these types of contractual cases, minhag will often determine. There certainly are minhagim today about what landlords have to do. Certainly if our toilet stops working and it's not our fault that we flush down, whatever we flush down, we expect the landlord to repair it. The heat, the air conditioning, the most things we do expect the landlord to prepare, we often write that explicitly into the contract. That certainly is binding. And even if we don't, there are certain things where there are clear minhagim. Some of the contemporary posts can discuss what the minhagim are, although again, a lot of these posts are in Eretz Israel. You can't necessarily assume the same minhagim that are true in Eretz Israel, are true in the U.S., but certainly we have our own contracts, our own minhagim, which will generally be binding in these cases. The one area of Choshen Mishpat where contracts are the most binding, because everything is basically based on what they agree, is basically the laws of rental, the laws of employment, the laws of shutfas. which are completely contractual arrangements. So certainly the contract that you write is binding, or the minhag will be binding. We're dealing here just with the basic halacha, barring any minhag. The different alkiel, though, he tells us what the minhag was in his place, and he seems to be suggesting that that has to do with a resolution of the stira between the Rosh and the Ritva. He says, we distinguish between the house itself, its integral parts, and between things that are kind of added on, maybe are stuck to the house, attached to the house, but are kind of not the body of the house. So he says, his example, there were panes of glass and doors, panes of glass and windows, or doors. I'm not sure what he means by doors, but stick to the case of zechuchis in the windows, he says. Zechuchis is like a separate thing. It's not really part of the house. It's attached to the house, but it's like a separate thing that, he says, the tenant has to repair. But the... That, he says, the tenant, he said, the landlord would not have to, that's not the house itself, the landlord doesn't have to repair it. Those are the sorts of things that the Ramah is saying, in Shinya Dalad, the landlord does not have to repair if they broke after the lease began. But if the goof of the house itself was damaged, and that's the case of the Rush, where the house itself is starting to collapse, where the etzim, the mamashus of the house itself is having problems, that is the landlord's duty to repair. There's a third approach in the Achronim. This seems to be the opinion of the Shaul Meshev. Perhaps this is also the opinion of the Marshach several hundred years earlier. They say that within the house itself, the house is totally nafal, you don't have to repair. They say not only that, even within the house itself, we can look at nafal as an individual parts or modules of the house. If a certain part of the house was nafal, totally collapsed and is gone, the door was knocked down and broken up and is gone, that's nafal. Even though the house is intact, you don't look at nafal as the house itself. You look at individual parts, those parts of the house are nafal, landlord's off the hook for repairing. Landlord's off the hook for them. But if the part of the house in question is there, it's just not operational but can be fixed, then the landlord does have to repair that. So he says, in the case in the Rush where the Mesukan Ladurbo, the beams are there, the ceiling is there, the walls are there, just they're tilting, they're starting to collapse. They can be shored up, they can be fixed. That the landlord has to do. In the case in Shinya Dalad, certain things are just broken. They're gone. They have to be replaced. They're nothing to fix. They're just, you know, the refrigerator or toilet depends. I guess a toilet typically you don't replace. You typically have to just fix it. A refrigerator sometimes, an oven sometimes it just blows and has to be replaced. Sometimes it can be fixed. So these achronim are saying that's the distinction. Things which are nafal, even if they're only parts of the house, those parts are azda. Mashenkin, things which are damaged but can be repaired, that's not ours. Those things have to be fixed.
Sounds like a little bit of an unusual spur, because when you're talking about the whole rental, you can say the whole rental ends. The rental ends because nothing to do. But if you're saying I still have to rent it, but parts of it are gone, that's not what we...
So I agree. I agree it's a difficult svara, and one of the Achronim makes this objection. He says that I think I forget the names at the moment, but a couple of Achronim make this point. They say that the implication of nafal, as explained by the Kadmonim, is nafal means the rental is over because there's nothing left. You rented a house, there's no house, so the rental is over. If the rental is still intact, to say there's an azda on specific features of the house is not intuitive, and I agree. I agree that is a somewhat difficult to understand chiluk, but I'll call upon him. There are poskim who make this chiluk and say that we look at nafal on individual pieces rather than on the house as a whole. So basically,
would the Marshach say that you prorate it though? Could you maybe say it that way, potentially, that since you paid for certain features, now the house doesn't have all those features, you would prorate, or do you say no?
So the prorating is another very important question, also a very, very common question. It's relevant in the case of the Marshach, as you said. It's also relevant, even without the Marshach, it's relevant because in the real world, typically problems don't get fixed on the day that they occur. So even in cases where the landlord is going to repair them, either because that's the minhag, or because he needs it to repair it anyway for himself, or because he's a nice guy, or because you hold like the shita that he has to repair them for various reasons, in all those cases, this is a very common child that comes up all the time in Schirus. The tenant will say, I was without air conditioning for 2 weeks in August, and I want something off. I was without heat for 2 weeks in February, and I want something off. If the basement was flooded, I couldn't use the basement for 3 days, I want something off. So this halacha is even harder to get to the bottom of. There is virtually nothing about this in Ar Siman in Shinyud Beis. The main sugya for the discussion of this actually occurs about 10 simanim down the line in Shin Chaf Aleph, where the halachas of renting fields are. where there's a major machlokes between the Maran Padova and the Ramah and the Sma about what to do about nikoy. If you had use of the rental property but it wasn't up to snuff, it wasn't in its, in some parts, some of the chuvas from discussed it in Arasuga too. But the question of nikoy, are you menaka? How much are you menaka? Becomes first of all, as a practical matter, becomes very difficult to calculate, because some things you can look at a market value. You can say a 700 room apartment goes for this, a 900 room goes for that, a 3-bedroom goes for that. It's very hard to figure out how much should an apartment be reduced by the fact that it was missing air conditioning for 2 weeks in July. I mean, you know, there are such things as apartments without air conditioning, but to start figuring out that if to go without air conditioning for 2 weeks and this heat, because very hard to calculate. I had a dintara once like that, where this is the whole debate between two parties. It was you know, 1 week vacation rental basically, and the air conditioning was out, and the question was how much to take off. It was vacation, you're supposed to be having fun, but very difficult to calculate practically. And the halachas are not clear. The minhag of Bate Din is they are usually menaka for any amount that something important was missing. How much becomes very much a kind of almost intuitive guess as to how much should be menaka. But yes, that is also a very important question. Just briefly, in summary, we have four or five approaches to the basic question. Putting aside the question of minhag or contract, we have four or five different approaches in the poskim to the question of what does the landlord have to do mikra din. Some say it is a machlokas rush and ritva. If so, the question is then how do we paskin? Some say we paskin like the rush. Some say it's talian muksuk. Some say it's machlokas. So this is, and there is no clear achra we paskin. That's one approach. If we assume it's not a machlokas, we have three or four other approaches. Some say it depends whether it's mesukan and unlivable versus just missing something but not mesukan. Some say the question is whether something is missing or something is gone or something is here and reparable. And some say the last chiluk was that it depends on whether part of the house or not part of the house. That the house itself has to be repaired by the landlord, but that kind of externalities. I once had a question. I rented a car. The car got a flat, and the question was, assuming it wasn't my fault that the car got a flat, and assuming that there's no din of shal chayav ba'unsim in such a case, assuming it was meis machas malachim, maybe, whatever the case was. Again, there probably was a contract, although I actually, in this particular case, it was a Hamish rental in Lakewood, and I don't think the contract said explicitly who's responsible for flats. So the question was, is the landlord obligated to replace the tire? Or can he say, you know, you want to replace it, you replace it, but I'm not obligated to. So again, many of these considerations would apply. Does the landlord have an automatic obligation? What if the engine had broken? You know, is the landlord obligated to replace it or not? Again, there are minhagim and there are contracts, but in terms of what halacha actually says, it'll be telling on the discussion we had tonight, as well as some other sugyas and other simanim which we haven't gotten to yet.